Tito's and Shiner, gonna be an all-nighter, and I just might find her at the Whataburger line. Dance halls and women, but man, I'm wishing that I was fishing by the river tonight in Texas.
Howdy, 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 everyone. Welcome back to another episode of Texish, the show about some things Texas.
And some things dating charts.
A lot of things dating charts. For all of you that listen, we recently did a episode talking about dating, and we are fortunate to do a follow-up interview on that topic and discussion with Charlotte Warren, a.k.a. Welcome to the Peasant Party. She has been quoted in U.S. News and the Daily Mail and all these things, saying things like, bring back the patriarchy, and I love body count. And so we're really happy to have her in the studio.
Charlotte,
today.
Your favorite phrase is high value man.
High value man.
Oh my goodness. Oh.
Welcome to the Texas Podcast.
Thank you for having me.
Of course.
I love, oh my gosh, dating.
Dating.
All these buzzwords all over the internet.
Yes. And for real, anytime we have a guest on, we're very thankful. We're very thankful you're here. You have many things you could do today. You chose to hang out with us. So thank you for giving us your time. And we're excited to talk to you for a little bit.
I'm super stoked too. Thank you again for having me. This is an awesome setup. I've never looked that good in a long time.
That's you though, not the lights.
That has nothing to do with that.
Give yourself credit. We're going to cover the dating stuff, but tell us about Charlotte. When did you come to Austin? Where are you from? Catch us up a little bit.
Yeah, so originally from Southern California. So Ventura, born and raised, nice. College, Cal Poly, San Luis Obispo, and then following that, lived in Santa Barbara, worked in tech, doing like digital marketing and whatnot. And 2018, I moved out to Austin. Basically, my company at the time was expanding offices to Austin, lower cost of living, bigger talent pool, you know, Santa Barbara. They didn't want to be like in the Bay Area.
Yeah.
It was really hard to like recruit good talent there. So they basically opened the door for current employees to move here. I was like, you know, that's a great deal. Get to come home on the company dime for Christmas and whatnot. So, I've seized the opportunity. It was nice to had a lot of friends kind of making the same move, and I've been in Austin ever since. I love Austin. Great time. Yeah, it's also just, you know, not too big, not too small. I hate LA. Like, everyone just wants to be an actor. Amen. New York's too fast. Like, San Francisco, everyone wants to sell you whatever app they're building. True. So just not pretentious.
And don't even get me started on Orlando, Florida. And was it Oracle by any chance? Was that the company you were
Absolutely
with?
Absolutely not. I hate it.
So Gunnar's an ex-Oracle.
I'm an ex-Oracle guy. I was like, they came to Austin at some point.
No, Oracle is a competitor. And I always had an axe to grind. When I was in college, I was not hired by Oracle because my GPA was too low. So I've had it out
ever since. Ooh, yep. I only got hired because I did a sales pitch for myself. Because my GPA was too low.
They wouldn't go around me not having a 3.0. Yeah. I was that fun.
Were you like 3.1 and it was supposed to be 3.2?
No, it was supposed to be 3.0 and I was like a 2.7 or something.
Dude, what's up?
Yeah, so I had too much fun in college. I majored in Parks and Rec too, so I majored in fun.
That's amazing.
RPTS.
If I could go back and do it again.
I've never used my degree, but I think it was just really great for like making connections and you know, kind of getting to see a lot of different things. Like if I did it all over again, I'd do it the same way.
Hell yeah.
Love my major and but I think it's just kind of funny because I like to have fun and people are like, you majored in fun. I'm like,
And you spent a little time in Lubbock as well, right?
No. So I started a Master of Science in Marketing Research and Analytics through Texas Tech. I did not finish. Previous company was doing tuition reimbursement.
Sure.
And kind of stopped that program because of COVID stuff. So.
Gotcha. Well, you're joining a big community of people who didn't graduate from Texas Tech. So totally okay. I'm also was it RPTS at Cal Poly? Was that what the major was?
It was Recreation, Parks, Tourism Administration.
Yeah. Okay.
So RPTA,
At A&M we called it Rest and Play Till Seminary.
Nice. Yeah. I should have like used that acronym.
Oh, darn.
But Rest and Play Till I don't know.
Till other stuff.
There's still time.
That's awesome. Yes. So Made a couple of company changes. When did making content just about dating or funny content about dating come into play?
Yeah, so I think that's always a funny like background story to tell. So was in digital marketing in tech. So knew that TikTok was like the next big thing. Like I think, right in March 2020, downloaded it, would see people doing little dances on it. I think I tried to fiddle with it, like doing like little house tours or something at the time. Nothing ever made traction. But always like lurked. I always thought like dating content was fun to watch. Like some of it I was like, this is kind of weird. But sometimes it was just, you know, it was kind of like, this could be a fun niche. But I never liked the idea of doing like anything that involved, you know, putting myself into inserting myself into it. Just didn't want to like open myself up for criticism on the internet, or, you know, as I was single at the time, like getting, you know, people having it jeopardize my own like dating life. Like I just didn't want to do that. And then I think it was, around little after this time last year, so maybe like May of 2022, was out at like brunch with a bunch of girlfriends. And we were talking about, we were telling old stories, and one of my friends talked about this guy that she used to, in my opinion, date. Like they were, you know, one of those like 1-2 monther type situations. Like they were going on dates pretty actively. He came as her date to our company Christmas party and everything. And I referred to him like, oh yeah, the guy you dated, like Phil. She's like, we never dated. So it's a, well, yeah, you did. You were, you had like kind of like a 2-monther thing going on. Like it never, you know, launched into a full relationship, but you, you guys dated. No, if dating means, you know, relationship. She says, we were talking. And it was just, I was like, I hate using the term talking to describe someone you're going on dates with. I think it just sounds so childish. And it was just a big debate back and forth. And then,
and it was fueled by mimosas too, right?
Yes. A lot of mimosa. If you've ever seen like a mimosa fight amongst women, it's a fun sight. But yeah, it ended with her saying agree to disagree. And I hate when people say agree to disagree.
Sure. Because it means they're basically saying, F- you, I'm done with this conversation.
Yeah. Exactly. They're saying I give up on proving a point I thought I believed in. Exactly. That's my,
they're saying you won, but I can't say that.
I would like to think I won at the time, but I had to further prove my point. So I was like, I'm you know, show her like what, the, where, where does dating begin? So I drew something on this little notebook at the time. Computer stuff. And I said, you know, like, why don't I just take this to TikTok and just and see if everyone in the world agrees with me? So I did something where I was like, I'm declaring war on this terminology. If you're actively going on dates with someone, that's dating. You know, this talking stage is this window of time before you start dating. Like if you're, you know, maybe if it's someone you knew already and have these like flirty back and forth, but once you're like going on dates actively, like that's dating. Like, and so I made this whole little drawn out chart. Of course, starts a debate in the, amongst, you know, everyone that comes across it.
Everybody
a
lot of, in the ether.
A lot of like Gen Z versus millennial, like Gen Z really rides hard to call, you know, someone you've been, you know, doing everything with, like you're someone you're talking to. But yeah, it just, it, and then I was kind of like, oh, you know, this is kind of a fun response. I'm having fun with this. Like, you know, had interest in doing more with TikTok just because of my background. I was like, maybe there's a niche here. So I was thinking of what to do. And I was kind of like, what? Like, you know, where could I take this? And I think the next weekend had another one of those brunch conversations where someone's talking about being
same friend or
different group. Same friend was there, but she was defeated, so she was keeping her mouth
shut. She was on the other side.
The chart proved her wrong.
But someone was talking about how they'd been ghosted. Now, when I hear ghosting, like when I think of ghosting, I think of, you know, someone, you know, you're going, so you're seeing them, you have some sort of a meaningful connection, and all of a sudden they just disappear into the night. Like it seems like, oh my gosh, like it's they've run off, you don't hear from them anymore. And then I realized, like, as she's telling the story, it's just someone who stopped talking to her on a dating app. And I said, well, that's not ghosting. Like a ghosting is, you know, everyone's overusing this term ghosting all of a sudden. So then I said, like, like what could I do here? And I made this little like XY axis chart of like what is or isn't ghosting. Like my big take is it takes two to be ghosted. If you go on a date with someone and that date ends, you go home and you don't say anything to that person. You don't say, I would like to see you again. And they don't message you. They didn't ghost you. They like, how are they supposed to know you wanted to see them again? So it was, that was kind of the thing there. And I put it on a computer. I was trying to draw it up. I was like, I need to do this on the computer. And that was the next one. And that one like kind of blew up. And I was like, I think we've got a niche on our hands. So the role I was in marketing too, like just had to give a lot of presentations back to others at my company. So I was like, oh, like, you know, I can do like kind of like templates I've used at work, like that kind of thing. And then it really helped with my public speaking skills. Like
I'm sure
the job was at, I do it in my morning, in the morning, to like warm up my voice and stuff. So I had a lot of fun doing that. So like what is or isn't ghosting, a lot of like what are these new like day and age types of like buzzwords you see a lot, like ghosting, what does that actually mean? Like what does the ick mean? Like what is this talking stage, what's a situationship, all that stuff. Because it's, people will use these like words and no one really knows what they mean, or it means something different to everybody. And I think it just like causes a lot of confusion. So I think a lot of the charts have been like, what does this word mean? Or like, you know, trying to like lock down a definition. And what could it mean?
Why is this a thing in general?
Exactly.
Yeah.
And I, again, want to talk mostly about dating stuff, but something that's clear to me, even just talking right now and watching your content, you clearly believe in personal agency and personal responsibility. And that seems very rare among people our age and younger. So were you raised that way? Is it something you, did you read a Winston Churchill book at some point? Just where does, where for you was the journey to like, it's all about personal agency at the end of the day?
Exactly. I think it really like came from, and I don't, I, like, I'm trying to think of where it came from. I think just at the end of the day, the only person you can control is yourself. And I think of just like how I've gotten where I'm at just at work and whatnot versus, you know, like waiting on someone else to make a decision for you. Yeah. Or if something goes wrong, you know, I don't want to, because I hate the word, like, I really hate, but something you'll see a lot on TikTok is people using words like blame, accountability in a way that's like, you know, said with a lot of like, like a lot of hostility.
Yeah.
And I'm a big believer in accountability, but I hate this whole trend of like, got to hold them accountable or take some accountability and stuff. But, and I frame it more as like, the only person you can control is yourself. Like, you can't read other people's minds. Like, what can you do?
Yeah.
Right. And what can you do? Can you do it and doing it in a way that's kind? Because so many of these types of people that will say like, you know, be accountable or, you know, that kind of thing, it's done with from like a position of like kind of being mean-spirited.
Yeah, almost like manipulative too.
Yeah, like and you'll see it from like a lot of angles. Like, you'll see it from kind of those like alpha male podcasts, like take some accountability and stuff. And it's always thrown at other people. No one ever talks about themselves taking accountability. They're always telling other people to take accountability.
Yeah,
which I always think is funny. But yeah, I think it really comes down to just making sure that you're looking out for yourself first and kind of owning what you want, knowing what you want in the first place. Cause I think sometimes people, it's like, oh, what does this other person want? It's like, do you even know what you want? Like, you know, people are saying like, oh, why did he ghost me? Or why did, you know, why did he say he wanted a relationship? And all of a sudden, you know, he says he's not ready. It's like, did you want that relationship at all? Like, did you say so? Like that kind of thing. So
for sure,
a lot of people like, yeah, they just don't know what they want. And I think that's kind of sign of the times with a lot of like millennial Gen Z trends, kind of just this day and age, I would say.
How do you feel like the, you know, making dating content, did that affect your dating life at all?
A little. So yes and no. I've always like kept my personal life out of it. And part of it was just, I would see, you know, just in my time of lurking on TikTok, just you'd see someone telling these stories about their dates. And then all of a sudden it was like, oh, he decided he didn't want to date me anymore because of, you know, because he saw my TikToks and stuff. So I didn't like that. Like, I also knew just, I have, you know, big friend group that would just kind of roast me over the coals if I did some, if I told stories like that.
Yeah. Sounds like a good friend group.
Yeah.
Sounds like a
great friend. I think as a whole, like, there's definitely a version if you're a private person, you know, who doesn't put themselves on the internet, just having, dating someone who just does, like, regardless of it. Like, I'll talk to a lot of creators kind of behind closed doors. I know someone who the focus of his content is his dog, and he's had girls that get uncomfortable with it.
Sure.
He's like, he plays a supporting character to his dog. But it's just that, you know, not wanting to be around an influencer. I become content, like, are you going to start dragging me on like a you know, a bicycle built for two, and we're gonna have to go to the farmer's market and take
is everything gonna revolve around your content?
Are you are you here with me, or are you trying to get content?
So I think that was something I thought about. It was something I sort of just started to lead with. Like, I was just sort of like, I would rather people find out now and just opt out early versus having it be this big reveal or them finding it on their own. So I would lead with it. And I also I felt like I always liked to meet people through friends or like through organic ways. Like, I got off dating apps. I think part of it too is it affected my dating life in the sense where I was like, I don't want to be on these dating apps. Just hearing people talk about how upset they were on it, kind of hearing like what was going on the side for like, you know, guys where it's just like, oh, like, I don't want to accidentally hurt someone or something. Cause it's just, there's the feeling of just like having like too many options, in the sense where it's like, you open it and there's just, you know, so many people on there. And like, I just felt like I wasn't getting a good picture of who I would have like wanted to date off of this dating app. So,
and you make a great little, one of your videos is about marketing and like making sure you're in front of the right audience. And I really appreciate
that. Your
as a marketer,
hint,
but
I love your, I love your subtle hint at the obsession with Cole Hauser.
That was fun.
As Rip as well.
Well, that was another thing too, is I always just thought like, people just, hey, there's always this claim that's made on TikTok of just like, all the women are, you know, all 80% of the women are going after the top 20, is always the top 20% of men or something. And it's a claim that, like, I think you'll see on like alpha male type podcasts. I personally think like there's a type of guy that does, there's a certain type of person that just does well on dating apps. Like, the type of guy I always liked didn't, I won't say like didn't do well on dating apps, but just, you know, if you think of who does well in dating apps, it's people with good pictures. A lot of like realtors always do well. Why? Yeah, because they have a million pictures of themselves in front of fancy mansions that are great quality and whatnot. Like the type of guy I always liked, it's like his he would do fish pictures because he didn't take any pictures.
He likes
of himself.
Go fishing.
Or just outdoorsy. It'd be like, you know, there'd be a campfire and you'd be kind of, you know,
normal
behind
people.
The campfire. Right. Yeah. So it was hard to like, the type of guy I always liked was hard to stand out on a dating app. Like,
that's
a
good perspective.
Like, I was like, I would rather just like, you know, walk into like an armadillo den type place and I'm like, oh, it's easier. Love armadillo den. Like something like that where it's like, I can see that kind of thing in the wild. So, and I think the same goes for women. Like I know women that I think are, you know, really, really attractive, but just they're dating, like when they put themselves into the baseball card that is a dating app profile, for some reason, it just, it doesn't show their best self. So I think there's some people are dating app people. Some people are
dating in the wild,
you know, in the
our normal actual dating. In your opinion on this topic, do you believe dating apps can be good? Is it a net negative? Just where do you stand right now on the utility of dating apps?
Well, I think they're not going away. Like I think there's people saying like, oh, like are they going to go away? It's like, we've gotten this tool. I think they're going to be hard. It's a, you know, we open Pandora's box. It's hard to put back inside. I think another thing that's hard too is just, starting up new dating apps, I think is really hard. You'll see a lot of people trying to do that. But a challenge with that is no matter how good the product is, no matter how good like the user experience is, like part of the product is the other people on it.
Yeah.
And if you don't have like a good launch or like a, you know, a good concept, like it's tough to do. Cause like you'll see people like, oh, I'm excited for this new dating app. And it's like, oh, there's no people in your area. So it's kind of, it's kind of like, okay, it's, you know, the Hinges, the Tinders and the Bumbles and whatnot.
Do you have any dating app nightmare stories you can share?
I'm trying to think. I think a lot of just because there's no, you know, I would say almost like skin in, I don't know if skin in the game is the right word, but just people throwing Hail Marys, I would say, just because they're just like, this won't go anywhere anyway.
Might as well. And I'm not in front of you. So I can
so there's no accountability.
Accountability. Because you think of like back in the day, like how would people meet people if not, you know, going, if not meeting them on their own, like they would get set up by someone. What happens when you get set up by someone? Well, they're a mutual friend. Like if you go on a date with someone that your aunt set you up with, and then you don't like that person, like if you go and ghost that person, your aunt's going to come knocking on your door and saying like, why'd you ghost this girl I introduced you to? Dating apps don't have that. So I think a lot of like Hail Mary type things. So it'd be like that, the, you know, crass comments or just, you know, if you didn't respond to a message, just the kind of like persistent follow-up that got kind of spooky sometimes, like, oh, you, you know, you bitch, why won't you respond to my message kind of stuff. So
that's a real thing.
All the time,
That's crazy.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
So I'm like the innocent Christian boy.
We were just kind of like raised differently.
What?
I think it's just like people, like this mindset of like, you know, if someone's not responding to you on a dating app, they looked at you and said like, oh, I'll never talk to this person. Like people just assuming the worst intent. Like I think people are burnt out. Like I think another like frustrating trend you see is like everyone's like, oh, everyone's this, you know, F boy or this, you know, gold digger who just wants to use after my money or something. And a lot more people are just, you know, kind of going about their life and you know, they put themselves first, but no one, there's not a bunch of Machiavellian villains running around dating, trying to screw everything up. Like it's a lot more like emotional bumper cars, like people trying to do the right thing, but there's so much going
just
on.
Just don't know what to do at this point.
Yeah.
And so what are some good dating trends or even just like good dating advice things that you've picked up on doing this content over the last year?
Yeah, I think the best advice that I see is around like making meaningful connections with people around you and starting with friendships. And that's like hard because you think of like the type of people that might be on TikTok looking for dating advice. It's, you know, people that are stressed or like frustrated with their own experience and they want an answer. See, it feels like something like a dating app would be a direct answer. It's like you want to get to dates, like, you know, why, like making friends and hoping those some dates will come out of that. That's like playing the long game. There's no guarantees and stuff. There's that feeling that things like, you know, dating apps or like going up to someone and asking them out on dates is just this bigger guarantee. And like, you know, why do friendships? And I think that's kind of the route to go is just putting yourself in more situations, like joining groups, joining like organizations, and then making sure you're making meaningful friendships. And when people invite you places, like go and be a good guest, like that kind of thing is really what matters a lot. And I think as a whole, there's kind of just this loss of like the third space, just in general. And this goes like past dating, but just, you know, back in the day, like you go to school or work and then you have somewhere you go before you go home. Like even kids, like you know, they would go, even if you didn't play a sport or something, you went to the mall, you went to the arcade or something. So you're making connections with people. Now it's like kids after school, it's like, oh, they go home and they log on to the internet versus, you know, play the games together at the arcade or something.
The internet is now their third space.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so I think that's a challenge. So I think it's hard to break from that too, especially after, you know, COVID brought a lot more of those tools in. It's kind of like, oh, do I have to leave the house? Like people just being, you know, very, so almost too, like stingy with their time to where they don't want to leave the house.
Yeah.
And I think when you do, it's like, that's where you really can find people and meet people and being like open to possibilities in that way. So I think, just COVID's had some after effect, I would say, in that way. And then just people spending too much time on the internet as a result. I think, another thing that comes with that too is just you're exposed to more people that you would have never come into contact with. Had you not been on, on TikTok or something, like who would you get your dating advice from back in the day? Like your mom, your older siblings, like people that knew you and had personal interests in your life, shared experiences. Now you go on TikTok, you hear some guy in Miami with a little podcast, or you hear some like rich New York City influencer who's dating celebrities, and it's like you're like, oh, like this person seems to know what they're doing. Like, I think that's something that's like caused a lot of issues, I would say.
Yeah, and with the internet side, do you think porn has anything to do with like some of the negative parts of dating or intimacy right now?
Oh gosh, my like scope of knowledge on any of those is I would like to think no. I will say like just having people that are more accessible than ever, like just. If you think of back in the day, like celebrities, they were people on TV. You could write them a fan letter. They're not going to respond to that. Mm-hmm. Now you have Instagram and you can DM them.
Yeah. And see if they saw it.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Or like the pseudo celebrity. Like I know, like, obviously there's, you know, porn, like, or there's like kind of the OnlyFans side of thing or sites like that aren't necessarily, you know, porn, but they have that kind of
accessibility.
And just, you know, they have, you know, 10,000 followers. You message them and stuff. I think there is sort of that feeling of having people like that, or like people being more accessible in that context, whether that's kind of like that like pseudo celebrity influencer in a way. I think
so as you're like rising through the ranks as a creator, what are you finding to be the most rewarding parts of it?
I think just the different people I'm exposed to and just the different perspectives, I think that's been awesome. Just hearing just different viewpoints and values. Like I've had my perspective change a lot. I think as a whole, like I think sometimes it's like, it burns you out where it's like, oh my gosh, this is just such toxic advice. But it's also like made me, I think, more well-rounded and understanding about dating. Because like, I never really had like, a bad or negative dating life. Like I think sometimes people will see the content, like I'll get loud or be funny and people like, who hurt you? And to be honest, like I never, like I always felt like I had like, good first dates, almost to a fault, where it was like, what could this be? Like I felt like I was almost like having too much fun, earlier on.
But it was like too healthy to be good.
Right.
Yeah. Like my issue was always like breaking from like date mode, where you're, on the best version of yourself, and going from that, like going on dates to like being on the couch together and like kind of letting loose. Like that was always where I struggled, like going
struggled. Like,
On a personal level. So I always just, but as a whole, like had good dates. Like everyone I met, came into contact with was kind. If something ended, it was always like, this isn't it. Kind of 50-50 either way.
Sure.
I think kind of now, even though I had that really healthy experience, it was just kind of more eye-opening in the sense of just like, okay, here's struggles. I think I've gotten more of an understanding of like men's issues, but I still look at things from what I think is like a really like healthy way. It's like, okay, like here's what it looks like from the other side. If friends are having guy issues, like talking them down from them, thinking like, oh my god, he's this evil person who's just, when he ghosted me, he snuck off into the night and he got into this because he wanted to hurt me or hurt my feelings. It's kind of like, well, no, like I mean, it still makes it, he maybe didn't know his feelings or how he felt, but he's not evil. That doesn't mean you have to put up with it or give more chances, but those kinds of things, just that healthier, like everyone's out to get me kind of mindset I've been able to talk people down.
How, I mean, other than people who respond well to that, what have been some of the reactions to you when you give advice that is like, that person's not evil, and like, I'm not saying the problem is you, but you're seeing this wrong. Like, how do people respond to that usually?
Yeah, I think it really depends. Like if someone's like really going through it, like it's definitely they don't always want to hear that. Like they would like to, and sometimes people just want to be able to like throw their shoes at the wall and tell people and just be like, he's evil. Like, hit the can with the baseball bat. And I think people should be able to do that in like a confined space. Like, I think we've all walked into, you know, a brunch or something and been like, oh, you know, fuck men, or like, oh, all women are after my wallet. Like, those kinds of statements. And people don't mean it tongue in cheek. Like,
yeah,
I'm understanding with that. But I think usually it brings a fresh perspective on it versus like, oh, you know, F him, or like, mm-hmm. you know, I've talked people down from sending that crazy text message where it's like, you know, screw you. Like, why would you do that kind of thing?
Yeah.
What's been your biggest perspective shift?
I think, yeah, just as a whole with like the, you know, what, how it look, how dating has looked on the other side, just because I never really, like, I would hear anecdotally from friends, but it was never just like, you know, I never sat over a guy's shoulder and like looked at what it looks like from that standpoint. So just like little things I think that come with that, like, you know, why do guys complain about, you know, bots and catfish so much? It's like, oh shit, they're everywhere. or like those kinds of like issues where I was like, you know, why, like, I didn't realize it looked like it from that angle.
Yeah.
Or just, you know, how it's, I don't know, like, I think guys are more apt to like swipe more to the right. Like, I think there's a lot more like, you know, like swipe everyone and course correct with whoever you match with. and women are more like, okay, like, you know, screed the whole
thing. Yeah, what our kids look like. Right. And exactly.
So it was, and then you'd see like, you know, women get so many matches, I think, because of that. And guys just being like, why do women have so many matches? Like, how come, like, this, I match with her, why didn't she talk to me? It's like, well, you know, a lot of people are doing what you're doing.
You're in the queue a little bit.
Wait your turn.
So just like those little dynamics and whatnot. And I think that was kind of like the biggest like perspective shift, I would say.
What is some of the worst dating advice that you're seeing on TikTok right now?
I think of
the many that you see,
there is a big debate and around, and it's like rich New York City influencer girls about how women on first dates should only accept dinner dates, no coffee dates, no drink dates. And if a guy doesn't take you on a dinner date, he is not serious about you. He's a, you know, grubby cheapskate.
Okay.
and I hate that, because I think first it comes from a place of like, I think most women who have, you know, maybe done well for themselves, they don't want to go on they don't want the dinner date. I think it's like, you're locked into something. You have to wait till the check comes. Like, what are you supposed to do with, you know, within the first 10 minutes? You're like, oh, this person isn't it. Like, do you need that meal so badly kind of thing? Like, your time's valuable. If it's, you know, drinks, like, you go and, you know, one drink, like, it's an hour. Okay, cool. Like, you can part ways, you know, politely. I was always in favor of just the drink date, just because I think my work schedule, but I know some people that maybe have more flexible like schedules and whatnot might prefer coffee. But I've always thought those are like the best dates. Like, I mean, if you're going to coffee, don't go to Starbucks, like go somewhere like Brewing Brew or something like that. Like, make them fun. But
the only risk you run there is like, it's a diuretic. So
that's true.
At some point you're going to have to take it down.
Although the sooner the better in some cases.
True.
Just rip off the Band-Aid.
Yeah. Rip off the Band-Aid. Yeah.
True. Fart first. That's always my motto.
Fair.
But to your point, the coffee date, the drink date, I know it gets a bad rap sometimes, but I mean, we're both filling each other out, right? That's the goal, is to see if we have something that can, that we can build on. And like you said, like, committing to a dinner can be an ordeal.
Exactly.
Especially if they choose something heavy like Southern, and you're just like, ugh.
Like, all right.
That's the thing too. Like, I think people eating, it's like, I feel like there's something a little bit more intimate about eating and chewing and stuff like that. So I've always just been, you know, the drink date, like the coffee date, like obviously pick somewhere fun, like, you know, somewhere where you can change locations. You know, whether that's, you know, there's another bar next door or something, or, you know, coffee. It's like, choose the day where it's like, oh, the, you know, the farmer's market's going on at this time. Absolutely. We'll do a walk at the farmer's market. But this whole like, you know, everyone doing coffee dates and drink dates are bad, dinner dates good. I'm just like, that's the weirdest. I hate that take.
That is a weird take.
That's an interesting take. Okay. Yeah. And what is something, so it's two questions. What is something that you see that you believe men don't understand about dating? And what is something that you believe women don't understand about dating?
Oh, that's a good one. I think men don't always know how much like women kind of look ahead at things. I think there's, you know, how much kind of like research or forethought goes into like going on the dates and stuff. Like, there's always the Google search. There's making sure people aren't crazy. I think, this is probably it. Just how much women think about safety. And I think a lot of guys mean well and whatnot. But, you know, for example, like, you know, women not accepting a ride for the first date or something like that. I mean, I think most guys know that, but, you know, some women will say like, oh, you know, he asked me on a date to go hiking for a first date. Like, no, we're not going to do a Gabby Petito situation or something like a, like,
the trailhead's an hour out of town.
Yeah, like that kind of stuff. Or like, and I think sometimes guys will suggest things that, you know, are meant to be nice, and it's like, right. Oh, like they kind of miss why would a woman be so scared? It's like, right. Well, like, you know, there are, we know you're probably not the murderer, but you know, mm-hmm. we want to make sure that, you know, there's the 1% chance is enough for mm-hmm. them to, you know, kind of
fool me once,
be mm-hmm. spooked. Yeah, like you know, not accepting the rides home, like maybe wanting to keep the conversation like in an app versus giving the number out right away.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
So I think just like those little things are like sometimes like guys will think they're doing something nice by ordering the mm-hmm. drink ahead of time, having it mm-hmm. at the seat when you get there. It's like, ah, you know, no, like
what's in there?
Yeah.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. So like I think that kind of thing, as well as just kind of maybe being cagey at first in general, like guys are like, oh, you know, why is she doing that? Like, you know,
this it's a safety thing.
Safety thing.
Yeah. Sure.
So I think, I think that would be, I would say like the biggest thing. I think on the women's side, looking at men, I think how much, and like, I think maybe like women will come for me, but just, I think how much like guys want to do the right thing. And sometimes they kindness their way into being assholes in a way. Kindnessing their way into assholery is what I've said. Because I think there's this feeling of, like I said about the Machiavellian villain, sure. But the guy who says, I could totally go for a relationship. 6 weeks later, you're excited about it. Oh mm-hmm. my gosh, no, I'm not ready. And there's, you know, a lot of women's instinct is he's this evil F boy mm-hmm. who sought to do this the whole time. Mm-hmm. He had this elaborate plan. He mm-hmm. just wanted to, you know, sleep with me. And then, oh no, I'm not ready.
Yeah.
A lot of times, I think there's a lot of uncertainty on guys' parts. I think women as a whole, there's, you know, a lot of value in female friendships that I think guys maybe don't have as much. Like mm-hmm. women, you go to a brunch table, like I said about all my brunch table arguments, but if you have a breakup text you need to write, that's been written by a committee.
Yeah.
There's a proofreader, there's someone who helped you with it. Mm-hmm. You know, what's going on here? Well, what's he doing? Okay, like you've got a bunch of people to talk about with it. I think mm-hmm. those conversations happen in like male circles just a lot less. So I think there's a lot more uncertainty.
Yeah, it's a different thing.
Guys can just kind of go off their experience. They're like, oh, you know, like this worked last time with this person, or this sure. didn't mm-hmm. work, and you know, try it here. And then lo and behold, you got someone who preferred something different.
Experience mm-hmm. versus committee.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So I think how much guys like want to do the right thing and just kind of, you know, change your mind, or there's a lot of uncertainty with it. Mm-hmm. That doesn't mean you have to put up with it. Like if you're looking for a serious relationship and you're dealing with a guy who's kind of flighty, or you know, realizes he's not looking for anything serious or something, like it doesn't mean you have to fiddle around or say like, oh, you know, like, oh well, like you can be frustrated, but that's also where that like accountability piece mm-hmm. comes in, where it's like, you know, own what you want. Like, you know, don't try to play coy and pretend that you don't want this relationship when you do. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, there's also mm-hmm. Show not tell. Don't kind of float through life and just hope someone picks you. So it's kind of, I would say like both sides of that.
Love kindness is the way to be an asshole.
A kind hole, if you will.
A kind hole. Don't be a kind hole. Don't be a hole in general. And this is part of what I love about your content, because you rail against this whole body count thing, which mm-hmm. I really appreciate. When did you start making content about how absurd this body count trend is, and like why does that rub you wrong?
Oh my goodness. So I first heard that term, and people are like, oh, that term's been around forever. Like you're just making stuff up, but just I was on TikTok like before I ever started making content. There were kids, you know, going, "Oh, what's your body count?" Like
kids
asking other kids, like just like asking their mom and dad, like, "Oh, what's your body count?" Like that's when I first heard the term, and I was like, "What is this body count thing? Like, is this like a video game thing? Like, you know, you kill people in Modern Warfare, like Call of Duty kind of thing?" I was like, "That's what people are calling like their past partners." I was like, "That's kind of crude." Like,
I always,
like if you even ask, like, "Oh, you know, how many?" or kind of thing. Like, it was never, you never called it body count. Like, when I hear body, I think of a dead body, someone that's no longer living. Like mm-hmm. that was a
back to safety.
Yeah, that was that's a past partner. Like it's like a partner who you made a decision with. Like even if you don't like that person now, they're a human who's probably still alive walking this earth, like probably with a few exceptions. But like so I just hated that terminology. And then mm-hmm. You know, as I start making dating content, obviously when you do that, you come across the alpha male stuff. There's also just the street interviewers that were making that mm-hmm. a question, like, you know, running around asking drunk people, and just was learning through people that I would hear from that this was because probably from this influence, like just it was becoming a first date question. People going on dates asking, "What is your body count?"
That's a first date question.
Dude. I'm so
brave. Clumsy. That's brave.
Very,
man.
Like, very feels very 22-year-old. Like, okay, watched yeah. Andrew Tate too much. Like, yeah. was told this matters
more, yeah. right. more than anything.
Yeah. yeah. And so I think
you're a big Andrew Tate fan.
Too, yeah.
Right?
Clearly.
yeah.
I don't. Ugh.
Yeah. But, jokes.
Yeah. Like it was just this very like I don't think they would even know why it was they're doing it because someone told them that it mm-hmm. should matter. So yeah. it's like I think that is just. Invasive and crude mm-hmm. way to talk about other people. It doesn't, you know, if you're trying to start a conversation with, you know, a potential partner about mm-hmm. sex and values toward that, that is not the way to begin the conversation. Like, mm-hmm. it's not a healthy way to do it. It's going to just put people in a defensive position. Mm-hmm. And it leaves out like a lot of difficulty that comes with those conversations, like, you know, people having trauma,
yeah.
right.
You know, in their past and whatnot. And I think it just doesn't paint a full picture of just someone's yeah. values or, you know, story. Like, I think a lot of those questions, if you're, you know, going down that road with someone, first off, not a first date question.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's, there's more like show, not tell, like, oh, you know, like right. keeping it fun. Like, everyone, you know, I think fun questions are like, how'd you lose your virginity? Those are fun story for mm-hmm. fun questions. You hear, like, sometimes you'll hear someone say like, oh, like, you know, parents were out and, you know, someone had yeah. to hide in a closet mm-hmm. or things like, you know, what do you like? What don't you like? And it's qualitative and you can kind of get a picture. Yeah. Like, you can kind of get a picture for what someone's experience mm-hmm, has true. Been
yeah.
In a way where the conversations are fun and people are more likely to be honest.
Like, yeah.
Yeah. I think it's just a really crude way to talk about people. And when people try to say like the, you know, the body count thing is like, take that as the moral high ground or like, you know, bring, you know, I guess kind of, you know, like say like, oh, you know, like you should like this question because it's, if you do, you're a noble, good person. Like,
where no. where do you draw that line?
Yeah, like
where are people drawing that line though? Because yeah, that doesn't make sense.
People's ideas, if you were not offended, if you had a low body count, you wouldn't be offended by this question. You would just, you know, answer the question, it's zero. Like,
yeah,
you know, I'm moral high ground. Like, and I just interesting because I feel like, you know, no Christian would talk about people like that. Like, it's yeah. if you know, have a, you find God later in life, like yeah. no one's gonna say like, oh, your body count so high you got ran through, like, and then you change your mind. It's like, no one talks like that. Yeah. Like, it's only yeah. people that are like trying to make it a thing.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, like, everyone, the versions of it that are like that Alpha Male podcast, there was always a double standard to yeah. it. Like, it was like, mm-hmm. oh, well, we get to do this, women can't, like,
yeah.
So it was just shitty ways to talk about people, shitty ways to talk about the most personal thing you can do with somebody.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So I just, I hate it. And just mm-hmm. that it was also just becoming a thing. People were asking strangers by street interviewers going around. And of course, like, doctoring up videos, there were stories of people yeah. like cutting out answers. So I just, yeah. I hate that.
Yeah.
Very inappropriate first date question, not a way to start that conversation at all.
Yeah.
Well, I loved your suggestion that they do a trans species interview with
yes.
the polar bears.
Oh yeah. That they should ask that to polar bears.
Yeah. Yeah. The PENIS meeting. That was fantastic.
Yeah. Yeah.
Your love of words makes me really happy. Mm-hmm. And a lot of the content is based off of like a catchphrase or something mm-hmm. in the zeitgeist. Mm-hmm. What's been one of your like favorite words to dive into and make content around, or like,
recently I really like doing something on what the ick is. And I think that's yeah, another yeah. phenomenon that I feel like guys don't understand but women do, and I think there's sure. a good reason for it. But just the ick is I feel like it's a feeling that I had before there was a word for it. I've gotten yeah. in the past where it's this feeling of you're dating somebody and then they do something, it's obscure little thing, and then all of a sudden you lose all attraction to this
yeah
because
you sure. think about, can I see that forever. Every day for the rest of my life, or can I not? And well, the answer is no. So
what is the ick?
Yeah, so the ick is, so it's you're dating somebody, everything's going fine, you're attracted to them, and then all of a sudden one day they do something, and that sounds like a weird way to put it, but it's this obscure little thing,
mm-hmm.
and all of a sudden in that moment you lose all attraction to them, mm-hmm. and you feel just this feeling of, I hate using the word disgust, because you're not so repulsed by it, but you're not attracted mm-hmm. to this person anymore, and that mm-hmm. thing is usually something that's like at the most a minor faux pas, like it's yeah. something sure. like jumped over a puddle and they look kind of funny when they did it, or it's like, you know, he whistled a silly tune as he was looking for his car keys, like mm-hmm. something like that, and then all of a sudden it was like, you get this feeling of, I'm not attracted to this person anymore, and it's different from a turn off, because it's not like, you know, they were rude to your mom, like that's yeah. not right. like that wouldn't be like an ick, because that's you'd be turned right. off,
because that's totally fine
to yeah
do. Yeah
yes
no but like, no, it's like, yeah. sometimes people are like, oh yeah, they said a racial slur, that's an ick. It's like, no, that's just wrong.
Yeah. That's a red flag.
That's just a misalignment of values.
Exactly. But I think one way people are kind of getting it wrong, from what I first understood mm-hmm. the ick, is like, it's this moment in time where someone that you're dating and are attracted to does something, but yeah. the thing is, it's like, some people say like, oh, my icks are when a guy does whatever, like sure. when they jump over, when a guy jumps over a puddle, it's an ick or something. And I don't think that's the way that ick is used. Because it's like, it's not about the action being like this turn off mm-hmm. for everybody. Like,
yeah.
Like, I think I did a joke where I'm like, I don't like Henley shirts on guys.
Yeah.
And it's just like, I don't know what it is about it, but it's like, yeah. yeah. but I was like, I don't know what it is about him, but it's just, it's something where it's like universal or something. Sure. And like, that's not an ick. An ick would be like the time where I was on a date with a guy and he started comparing himself to Jeff Bezos. Mm. I don't know if that would turn me off for anybody, but it was just this obscure little thing.
Yeah. Yeah.
It wasn't this like weird little turn off. So it's not something anyone can do.
Yeah. As a general question, can you come back from the ick?
That's the thing. And I think most people try to like, because when you get the ick, it's not something you're expecting to get.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's like you get it. And I think a lot of times you're kind of like, what the hell? Why do I not mm-hmm. feel attracted to this person? Mm-hmm. But it's usually, and I think when most people have decided they're done with the relationship, it's like when everything they do starts to annoy you.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
So you just get in that mode with that person.
Mm-hmm. So you've kind of already, your body has decided you're done and your mind is just catching up.
Yes. And that's how I've explained it. Cause I think, that's where it comes from. Like there's no rational explanation, but I think that is the best theory I've heard is,
sure.
yeah, your rational mind is catching up to you. I think you see it more with women because like, and I don't want to, like, this sounds bad where it's like women convincing themselves to go on dates with guys.
Mm-hmm.
Cause a lot of times it's this feeling of like this attraction could grow or like, I've got this mm-hmm. conventionally attractive, good on paper guy in front of me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, like I don't see it now, but maybe I could if I get to know him.
Yeah.
There's also just the added pressure I think women get where it's like, if it's someone your friend's trying to set you up with, like
mm-hmm.
you got the friends that don't take no for an answer. Like it's yeah. like,
and you don't want to disappoint your friend and whatever.
Yeah. And like, sometimes you'll get the random aunt that's like, oh, how old are you again? Like, oh, like, better hurry kind of feeling. Yeah. So I think you see it more with women.
No, it's fine. I don't get that at all. For any reason, it's fine.
So I think you see it more with women. Whereas like someone's trying to set a guy up with a friend or something and they're not into it. Like, oh, you know, like not really into her. Like people take that note for answer. Okay, cool. We're moving on. And like if guy's not attracted, he's not like, oh, like, you know, she's good on paper. She got that. She went to
Harvard. Just like, what's her name? Mm-hmm. Like just so much faster.
Yeah. So I think guys don't get it, but I know guys do get the feeling of like mm-hmm. everything you're doing annoys you know, when they're done.
Howdy, 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 y'all. Normally we bring you our not sponsors, but today we are excited to talk about an actual sponsor, Hydrate by Good Anya. You can go to goodanyaorganic.com to get Hydrate, which is an all-organic hydration powder supplement. It contains only natural organic ingredients and no sugar at all. It's made of lemon juice, coconut water, stevia, and organic sea minerals. This is the best hydration product I personally have ever used. I take it every single day when I wake up and after my sauna, and I feel incredible. Completely organic ingredients. A good friend of ours introduced us to this, and I can't go a day without it. So get yourself some Good Anya. Get yourself hydrated. Look, it's not the 1920s anymore. Everybody has a business or a startup of some sort, whether it's a side project, whether you've ditched the silver spoon and are going all in on your side hustle to make it a full-blown business, or you have a small business already, but you've hit a plateau in growth and you're trying to find different ways to turn your marketing dollars into legitimate revenue. Well, Creators Collective is here for you. They are a full-service marketing agency offering marketing, branding, logo design, copy, video, social media management, anything custom to your business or your startup or your side hustle that will help you grow your bottom line, grow your brand reach, and just feel like you have the best dang company ever because your marketing assets are frankly better than everybody else in the game. So what you need to do right now is go to creatorscollective.us and contact them to schedule a call and find how Creators Collective can help you grow your business for the long term. That's Creators Collective. Schedule a call and just grow your freaking business with marketing that freaking works.
Who right now in the dating culture, dating scene, who is under more pressure on a date? The woman, the man? Is it equal pressure? Just what's your perspective on like who's under the most pressure coming into a date?
Oh gosh, I think that there's pressures that are different. Like I think guys are fed a lot of mixed messages as a whole, just especially you've got like modern dating 2023. No. Like yeah, it's like, you know, does she
want? Yeah, the married guy knows.
What? Even married, there's mixed signals sometimes.
All the rules, and like, are the rules changing? Right. You know, the mixed messages where it's like, especially if you're going on TikTok, you're hearing from all these people you wouldn't have ever otherwise heard from. You're not just hearing from your older brother that says, make sure you pay the check at the end. You're hearing, you know, women get the ick for hop over a puddle. Don't hop over that puddle wrong.
Is this a real video? Because you keep saying hop over a puddle.
I'm taking the goofiest example.
Okay, gotcha.
I think the example I use in the video is, does the YMCA at the wedding, and they look
doing it. Sure.
Like that kind of stuff. But I think so, guys have these little rules, and it's like, what matters, what doesn't. Mm-hmm. You know, 2023, there's the modern woman who's making good money herself. Like, she says, oh, I can split the check. Does she mean it? Like, they're supposed to do the offer of, we'll split.
Yeah,
but the purse pump fake is what some people call it. But like, they're like, does she, like, she faked a little bit too much. So just those like conflicting rules, and just be a man, like all that messaging. I think for women, I think it depends on your age, but just the feeling of like not wanting to waste time. I think especially just, you see like late 20s, early 30s women who want to be in long-term relationships, where it's just like going in from the beginning. And I think there's that fear of just like going into it to just have a fun night, like, oh, I can't waste my time, or like, oh my gosh, this has to be something. So I think there's that pressure, especially if you've got the friends that are getting married that are, you know, kind of talking to you condescending. So there's that feeling of pressure that I think women put on themselves more. I guess you could say the same for guys. But those, I would say, are the different pressures, like women's, like external, guys, like, I don't want to fuck up the date. So I think that's kind of the pressure there. I also think just as a whole, there's the pressure, I think, that affects like, anyone of any gender, is just, and I think this comes with like millennial Gen Z, is nobody wants to like make the bad move or get locked into something that they're not sure about. Like, if you're trying to pick somewhere to go out to dinner with as a group of friends, like, you go and what do? You go and Yelp, you Google. Like, no one wants to be the person that picked the bad restaurant. So I think people are doing that with dating a lot too, where it's like, leaving the house is a bigger endeavor than the past versus like, I want to just let's just give it a shot and see what happens.
Let's just go to Dairy Queen and get a Blizzard. It's fine.
It's
my first date usually.
Yeah, fair.
Not a bad date idea.
Especially if someone's never been, you'd be like, look at what they do with it.
Check it out.
They're not dumping it out.
Yeah. No.
Crazy.
So cool. You know, you talk a lot about dating, you do the charts and all of that. What is your favorite part of dating? What in the process? Like, what lights you up about it? Because it's clearly something that you're passionate about.
I think as a whole, it would always like expose me to like new experiences. Just everyone had a story or a cool interest that I got exposed to like through meeting a new person. Like I said, I think I've gotten lucky where, you know, I've met good people. Like, when you meet people a lot of times through friends and stuff, like, just like-minded people, like, kind of comes with that. Like, I've discovered, you know, new types of like music or movies that I realized I liked. Like, got into like following stand-up comedy because of someone I went on a date with at one point. So just exposing to new experiences. Like, I tell people too, like, you know, that list of, you know, cool drink places that you've been wanting to try, like, you know, hang on to that and make that your first date list. Like, where are we gonna go for this first date? Like, hey, this place, like, always like kind of trying to get something out of it for yourself, I think, is a good way to just go about dating. And just, the experiences it exposes you to, that you would have never otherwise gotten to try.
Best first date.
What? I'm trying to think.
Or like a standout experience, something unique or
and
fun.
Say his name, like, wow. Where he's from.
Yeah.
Oh, goodness. I'm trying to think if there was like one particular, I don't know. I've always done the drink date and stuff. I can think of great experiences, with, you know, particular guys. It was never the first date. Like, it was always like, not that you ever wanted it to be like meet and greet. But when I first started dating my boyfriend, we went to see Joe Rogan at the Comedy Mothership for the first weekend. So that was was relatively early on in dating. So that was like a really cool experience. Like, just getting to like see that for the first time. That was such a big deal. He loves like Joe Rogan and just kind of who's going to come on as an opener. So it was just a really cool thing to get to do with someone. Just like seeing the look on his face and how excited he got. Was just a really, I think, a cool part of it. But yeah, like, it's probably something I wouldn't have done had I, you know, not met him. Yeah,
absolutely.
No, you go ahead.
I don't know. This is a little tangential, but I'm curious what your creative process looks like, because it takes time. Like, you're putting together presentations, you've got really funny cuts. Like, you do a really fantastic job.
Like, you
job.
Do this cool where it like almost looks unhinged.
Yeah.
It looks very like, people compare it to like Charlie Day and It's Always Sunny.
Sure, yeah, which yeah. is
A great compliment. Great
by yeah, absolutely. It's so funny.
You're hilarious, by the way.
Thank you.
Like,
I'm like,
it's so
usually
funny.
I have my cuts to like cut out if I'm mm-hmm. when all the thoughts I have in my sure, head. Yeah. It's very disorganized. Like, I have mm-hmm. obviously like crazy ADHD, so it really depends. Like, I like to go for quick wins sometimes. Like, I mm-hmm. recycle a lot. Like, if I'm doing something with a timeline, I copy it over from something else, like keep the same formats. Mm-hmm. I'll do like adjacent topics a lot. Like, if I'm talking about, oh, how do you define the relationship? It's like, well, what does this mean? I feel like I never really start something totally cold anymore. Like, I never start with like a blank slide and, mm-hmm. you know, start from there. It's always kind of pivoting off like something I've done.
Yeah.
Comments I get from the audience, like, you know, if someone asks a question, it's like, oh, this is a good topic. Mm-hmm. Sometimes it's demand based on, you know, what's going on in the world, or just what else is going on TikTok. Like, if there's some sort of crazy story or scandal mm-hmm. related to dating, I'll piggyback off of it just because mm-hmm. the views come with that. So I like to go based off demand. I think, yeah, just it's kind of a mix of all things. Like, I like to hold on to stuff and recycle where I can too, just so I'm not mm-hmm. like fatigued from it. Because sometimes I'm like, oh, like I'm a little burnt out from the charts.
Yeah, right now. Like, and you don't want to just be on your phone all day, right?
Exactly.
Yeah. And this is actually a question for the room. Pulling the room.
Oh, pulling the room.
What to you is the purpose of dating?
To find a connection. Mm-hmm. To I think ultimately to you know, to find the person that's right for you. Like, I think I would say most people want that. Like, there's always the other people on the end of the bell curve. Like, anytime I do something, it's always like, well, what about, you know, the poly people who like are in throuples? Like, what about them? It's like, we're talking about people looking for monogamous relationships here.
Sure.
I think for the majority,
and we're not personally affronting people who aren't.
Yeah, like it's like, if I had to think of every single like subcategory exception of person, like
talking never, generalities.
Yeah, like. Yeah, you got to talk in generalities, mm-hmm. but I think for the most part, it's, you know, finding the person that you want to walk mm-hmm. through life with, like, you know, the person where you're 80 years old, looking into the sunset on a beach, like, who's that person going to be?
Yeah.
But I think kind of along the way, it's, you know, finding yourself. And I think you don't, it's hard to find that person without experiences with other people on the way mm-hmm. there. For most people, I think sometimes people get lucky and it's like, oh, wow, like the girl that sat across from you in chemistry class in high school turns out to be it. And then mm-hmm. sometimes it takes some people a little bit longer. So.
Yeah.
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 Absolutely. I would agree that, you know, the ultimate purpose of dating is to find the person you want to share your life with. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Aww. Yeah. Yeah. 100%. And I do think that there's not a caveat, but like an add-on. Mm-hmm. That's not the only outcome that mm-hmm. you can get from dating. Because, mm-hmm. I mean, if you go into it and you're so dead set on mm-hmm. finding the one, mm-hmm. let's say, mm-hmm. I think you are potentially missing out on a lot of fun and mm-hmm. a lot of like getting to know people and experiencing variety and like mm-hmm. and like making friends and getting into new friend groups. Like, mm-hmm.
exactly.
Have you ever been on a date where you're like, this is a really cool person?
You bond with a girl at the party? Or,
sure,
like the
yeah.
I have some friends that are girlfriends of, you know, of someone that was a friend of someone I went on some dates with, where there mm-hmm. was a party. You're like, a pregame or something from when mm-hmm. you're younger, and it's like, oh, like this is so and so's girlfriend. I'm still friends with the girl. The guys, you know,
right,
don't follow
whatever,
each other.
But like, yeah, things like that. Like, there are other outcomes to dating than mm-hmm. you know, ending up with the one.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So I did just want to kind of have that out mm-hmm. there, but 100% agree. You date to find somebody to share your life with.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Yeah. And it's tough because there's some people that look at things very mathematically. And I think I probably get this audience because people see flow charts and stuff, like mathematical, like analytical people who are just like,
right.
You know, so much of life is like, do X and get Y. Like, if you're trying to learn to play the guitar, who are you competing against? Yourself. Like, you know, you practice the guitar, like there's no guarantees, but generally you practice the guitar every day, you're going to get better.
Yeah. You're going to learn a chord
good enough
right.
to mm-hmm. do something. And like, then, you know, if you go to another guitar, like you put that guitar down, someone, your friend has a guitar, you play that guitar, it plays the same way.
Yeah.
The same results, same, like same results. Like, yeah, you play a different guitar. Like, the guitar also doesn't have feelings. There's no, it's not a moving target. You don't play the guitar one day and all of a sudden, maybe it sounds different.
The guitar doesn't have a menstrual cycle. So
exactly. So it's tough, I think, for people that maybe have that more like just that mindset where you know, that makes it harder to date, where it's like, well, I said this, why didn't I get that? And you can feel that when you go on dates with people where it's like, I'm here because I want this, and it never makes a fun date. And it's hard for some people because they're like, well, why do I have to play the long game? Like, I want this bigger guarantee. I think that's why people are attached to the dating app so much, because it feels like there's more of a guarantee of dates versus make friends and hopefully you meet someone through that.
Do you think it also opens up that thing where you have the illusion of greater choice?
Yes, yeah, absolutely. I think I think that's like a thing as a whole, like, that just goes beyond dating. Like, if you ever have a barbecue on a Saturday and you're trying to call up friends and invite them, hey, come to my house for a barbecue on Saturday, what do most of them say? I'll try to stop by. It's never like, I will,
which is the most annoying response in the world, by the way.
It is so annoying. Everyone treats I think it's very millennial, very Gen Z, where it's like everyone acts as though like their favorite band could come have a surprise concert in their backyard, and if they're committed to anything, then they have to miss that surprise concert in their backyard.
Right.
Yeah.
So people just, there's that feeling of, you know, so many options, like something could come, like you're exposed to, you know, everything else that's going on. Like, if I open my phone, I'll see all these different events happening in Austin, which is great, because you do get to know about things you wouldn't have otherwise gotten to know about. But it's also just like, oh, what am I going to get into this weekend? Look at all these things. Like, here's what so-and-so is doing. Like, I could be doing that. I think, you see that as a whole, and you see that with dating as well, where it's like, okay, this was a nice date, but what about all these little like NFTs or baseball cards of people on my phone that I can talk to? Like,
that's so sad.
What if there's someone else out there?
Right.
What, again, polling the room. Why do you think there is such a problem with people our age, a little bit older, a little bit younger, with just commitment and standards? Like, why have commitment and standards become such an evil amongst like Gen Z, millennial people?
Well, I think kind of going back to the one thing I said about just people being afraid of making the wrong choice that they can't come back from. Like, you know, you want to look up everything about the restaurant so much so that you don't ever even go to the restaurant. You spend more time looking
and
at
stuff. And you never even tried it.
Yeah.
You never even tried it. Or, you know, people, you know, millennials maybe not buying houses as much. Obviously, there's the financial insecurity, which I think plays a role in dating too. But it's this feeling of like, I'm stuck here. Like, you know, I have this house. Like, what if this job opportunity comes up, or what if this thing happens and I'm stuck with this house or something? So I think there's just that overall insecurity, like feeling like maybe our parents had it a bit more secure than we did. Like, they had the house, they had the job. Like, if you asked your parents at 30, like, oh, where will you be in 10 years? And they liked their company, they would say, I'll probably be here.
Yeah. I might even have the same job, and that's okay.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
Like, it's, I think that plays into it a lot, where it's like commitment, you know, what else is out there? What could happen? Just, you know, the insecurities that have come from the things that, you know, we've grown up with, like, you know, financial issues and whatnot, like, you know, what could happen? Like, all, you know, all these, you know, COVID could happen or something, where it's like, it just feels like, you know, how am I going to get through this?
Yeah. Because shoes are just dropping.
Shoes
at
dropping.
Every turn. Yeah.
Tell me about it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think as far as the standards, because I think, as you know, while all that's going on, people do want a connection and stuff. Like, people, you know, like, still, you know, believe in finding the one, and they're frustrated by those people where it's like, you know, they're going through life and not committing to anybody. But I do think there's this fear of, I think, scaring somebody off that comes from you know, people that do want commitment. And it is, there is kind of a song and dance to it, because if you walk to a first date and said, I want to be married in 2 years, right when you sat down, like, I think there's people that want commitment.
Yeah. Well, now we're just back in the Christian bubble. So
it's but it's like, how people being afraid of, you know, scaring people off. I think there's the fear of giving people mixed messages. Like, if you say like, oh yeah, I'm looking for a relationship, you discover it's not with that person, like feeling like you're boxed in. Like those kinds of things, like people being afraid of communicating what they want, maybe being uncertain about what they want themselves. Like, I think sometimes people don't really get a grasp of what entering a relationship is until they're, you know, kind of there. And it's like, oh, this wasn't what I was expecting. It's not all rainbows and butterflies. So I think that kind of affects things as well. I do think people need to just dive in a bit more. Like, I think people are very afraid of like that label. I think the same way people are afraid of signing on the dotted line to buy a house, like people will rent an apartment and decorate it and make it feel like a home, but they don't want to go and buy a home. The same way people will go on dates and do date things, but there's something so terrifying about the label of, you know, boyfriend or girlfriend, because it comes with responsibility. There's like less of that.
Yeah. I feel that.
Yeah.
Let me clarify what you mean by standards.
I just like, yeah, standards probably sounds like a weird word. Boundaries, maybe? Like just having like, maybe standards is just the wrong word in general.
Like, maybe. I just use an example.
So or belief. So like having beliefs and like clear, like this is what I believe. These are my values. Mm-hmm. And I commit. I'm going to commit to things like,
okay, fair. Yeah. I would call those within dating like a boundary.
Yeah.
Right?
Boundary.
Like I have internal boundaries.
Yeah. Yes. Boundary.
So to kind of piggyback off of some of what you were saying, which really did address the initial part of that really well, mm-hmm. the commitment thing is real. Like people mm-hmm. are afraid to go beyond the dating stage
yeah. mm-hmm.
because they feel like they can't walk it back.
Yeah.
Feel like they forget that you can break up. It is an option
that can happen.
That can happen. Mm-hmm. So I'm with you there, and there's a lot of factors that kind of pile into that. But as far as like the boundaries thing, I think it's interesting. My observation of the dating world is that people bandy about the word boundaries mm-hmm. as this like catch-all ability to do whatever the f- they want within a relationship or within dating, and they're like, "Well, you violated a boundary," or like, "This is my boundary," and mm-hmm. they just throw out all these arbitrary lines without actually examining mm-hmm. what their own internal belief system is.
Oh, totally. I think as a whole with dating, one thing that trend I've noticed is just kind of weaponizing therapy speak. Mm-hmm. Like if you tell someone,
that video was awesome, dude, by the way.
Thank you.
So weaponized therapy.
Yeah.
Like
if you tell somebody like, you know, I'm not emotionally available. Like I've mm-hmm. got to go work on my mental health so I can't be in a relationship. You can't, you can't argue with that.
That's like saying like, I prayed about it and God told me to pray.
Yeah.
Up.
Yeah.
Like,
exactly.
Right.
I need to focus on God, not.
And it's, to your point, take some responsibility. It's like, I don't want this. Just say that. Like, exactly. I do not want this. And that's fine. That's okay. They have to respect that. Mm-hmm. But you're trying to like protect yourself from, I guess, being a bad person. I don't know.
Yeah. Well, I think that is a fear. And where I said like guys kindnessing their way into being in assholes. Mm-hmm. Like,
yeah.
I think especially just because if you're a guy and you're scrolling through TikTok, you see the girl crying because of her bad date. Like, sure. No guy wants to be that so much so. You kindness your way into being an asshole.
And that's mm-hmm. true. I can totally see how being a kind hole is.
New shirt coming soon.
Kind hole. So thank you for demonstrating the weaponization of therapy.
Yeah,
speak.
Yeah. And what put that on your radar? Because I just thought that was super succinct and interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think you scroll through TikTok and you hear people saying mm-hmm. it, just people mm-hmm. using gaslighting to mean, you know, they said something that hurt my feelings. Gaslighting is when you make someone feel like they're crazy.
It's a very specific thing.
You tell them, like, when someone says, like, hey, when you did this kind of crude thing when we were out at the restaurant together, mm-hmm. and they say that did not happen and make you think mm-hmm. that it did not happen. Yeah. That's gaslighting. Yeah. It's not like, you know, like, oh, like, you said
something that hurt my feelings.
Yeah, or like you were nice to them and it made them feel like you wanted a relationship because you were nice, and mm-hmm. then, oh my God, they gaslit me.
It's like, no, they made you feel good.
Yeah, like, and that's mm-hmm. the thing too, is like a lot of people will be nice and people just interpret that as a signal mm-hmm. to like mean something more. It's like most people will be nice. Like,
yeah,
not everyone, like where people think everyone's like the Machiavellian villain. Mm-hmm. Like,
yeah, that's just me.
Like people are just, no, most people will be nice to you. Like yeah. your face, it's not an elaborate plan either. No. It's like most people are nice and think they're being nice. They just mm-hmm. want something different. They're putting their own interests before someone else's.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But I think boundaries just gets like, I think I would mm-hmm. say like weaponized to just like a lot of the other like therapy words where it's like, oh, like my boundaries. It's like my boundaries. Like I'm not going to, you know, answer the phone.
Yeah,
because like, that's a boundary.
Yeah. I think like, you can be turned off by other people's boundaries, though. That's the thing. You can say like, you know, that boundary doesn't work with my boundaries or mm-hmm, my expectations. Is I like to, you know, hear from you throughout the day, kind of thing.
Right,
and that's an okay expectation to have.
Yeah, absolutely. As long as you communicate it.
Yeah,
mm-hmm. yeah, and that's where you get into like dirty.
Yeah,
you know.
Does
like,
most of
water.
This come down to no one's communicating?
Yes.
Okay.
Just all right.
It comes down to nobody's communicating, and I was going to get to like something you brought up earlier. This is just personal responsibility.
Yeah.
Nobody seems to want to be responsible for what they want.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You know, even down to like mentioning, you know, the breakup text by committee.
Mm-hmm.
It's like by the time you get that breakup text, there's been so many hands, you know, mm-hmm. so many cooks in the kitchen. It's like, what do you actually want?
My take is to say the first thing that comes to your mind, like as mm-hmm. long as you don't, if you know what you want, say the first thing that comes to your mind. Don't mm-hmm. do like, if you don't know, sit on it, obviously. Yeah, but right. like, I think, yes. Yeah, so you say the first thing. Don't mm-hmm. go write it by committee. Don't go write the Gettysburg Address. Like,
mm-hmm.
yeah, like I think that's Yeah.
And it's like these conversations that people have with other people about their relationship, they should be having with the person they're in the relationship with.
Exactly.
You would think.
Yeah. I think even just like the older I get, the more I realize people are still afraid of confrontation.
They are.
And that's okay.
Feelings. And it's okay. Like,
Communicate that.
Communicate that.
Like, yeah. I'm afraid of confrontation.
And that's like, cool. No big deal. We'll have it. And then,
And I think that leads me into my personal opinion about relationships. Like, that's where there's the most soil for growth is like in a relationship. So the fear of commitment is interesting to me because like you're leaving so much growth on the table whenever you're afraid to like be in something with somebody. Yeah.
Oh, I agree. I think there's also just this feeling of like people saying, you know, work on yourself, focus on yourself, where you feel like you have to be this perfect person that knows everything that you want in your life before you get in a relationship. I think you see that more with men where it's like that whole like be a man, like get to the gym, work on yourself before you emerge on dates. Like,
have you heard of monk mode?
I have, yeah.
Okay, yeah.
Like, I haven't. What's monk mode?
Isn't it like you go and like kind of hide in a hole and just like read a bunch of books and get in the gym and you don't talk to anybody until you're, you know, this chisel
like ready.
But those guys are assholes.
It's a terrible. Like I think so much of that is social too. Like even outside of dating, like I think there's kind of that, you know, alpha male mindset where all those, you know, influencers, whatever you want to call
them. Alpha male, by the way.
Yeah, like where it's like get to the gym and go and, you know, hide in a room, read a bunch of books, go to the gym, listen to Joe Rogan, like punch some walls and then come out when you're done.
Yeah.
But so much
it's like
of that
a
is
weird like, not she's all that, but they quoted it in Ted Lasso when the painter with the glasses and then she takes the glasses.
Yeah. She's all that.
That is she's all that.
She's all that. Yeah, yeah.
It's like the guy she's all that.
Almost. Right.
Like the transformation thing.
Yeah.
And, like, and I'm with you. Like,
yeah. Part of that is like, it's also you want to do things that are like social in between. Like, don't go hide in a room. Like, go and join, like, rather than doing.
I mean, go for it, but good luck talking to anybody with any sense of social norms.
Yeah. Exactly. I think that's why I think like when you're doing anything related to personal growth, make sure there's social aspects to it. Yeah. Like, don't do hide in the gym by yourself. Like join the group CrossFit class or something, and then that way too, like
get some community.
Get some community, because that's huge with dating as a whole. And I think there's people like as far as like getting into relationships, like feeling like they can't grow with somebody. Like it's like I have to be this perfect person, know everything I want, and then people realize like you're never going to really fully know what you want. There's always going to be uncertainty.
And that's why it's like at the end of this is my philosophy is that loving someone is a choice because you will not wake up loving them every day.
Mm-hmm.
And you will have to make that choice when it's hard.
Mm-hmm.
And the most beautiful relationships are the ones where you go, you know what? I'm willing to work.
Mm-hmm.
anyway, that's that. Let me get off my soapbox.
Every day.
So as somebody with a lot of eyes on various parts of the dating community and like what's going on, what is, in your opinion, the most discouraging part and the most encouraging part of dating discourse today?
I think the most discouraging is just how burnt out people are, just how fatigued, like people talk about like dating app fatigue or just people just seeming like they're going to give up. And I really hope I'm just in, I've found myself in weird corners of TikTok or Reddit when I stumble across that.
Nice.
People just like throwing up their hands and saying like, oh, like, I give up or something, like letting kind of the toxicity get to their heads. Like maybe they stumbled across a message that wasn't meant for them and they're throwing up their hands and giving up, or they're just feeding into toxic behaviors. Like if they're just told like, you know, oh my gosh, you're a 35-year-old woman who's still single, like better get prepared to die alone with your cats. And then you're kind of going into dates being sad. Like I think that's destructive. That's destructive. So I think just that feeling of burnout and toxic messages just as a whole. I think the thing that's most uplifting is there's, I think just people being aware of kind of the issues and talking about them. I think people are realizing, you know, what's happened to the third space? Like what's, you know, how can we get people out in the wild? I think there's, you know, groups or companies, like I think it'd be really hard to create a new dating app unless you had a really good thing to a good launch with the right product and the right people behind it. But people trying to get people back together in person, especially just after like COVID, like what can we do to, you know, get people together, like get adults together, you know, because there isn't that community the way there was in like college or high school where there's sports and teams and groups, like getting people outside, like that kind of thing.
Yeah, I've heard pickleball is a nice way to do it.
What's pickleball?
It's a eight ball pickleball.
It's a so it's like a pool table thing.
It's like two frat houses put a big ping pong table between their parking lots.
Oh, you play with dice instead of balls.
Yes, exactly.
That's as the hat says.
I'm curious for your thoughts on the term partner in like the dating spectrum, because coming to the table personally, mm-hmm. and I'm okay with
Gunner's got beef. This.
I don't have beef. Just
he hates it.
I have stop. I'm trying to make a serious point, like question. I have noticed that when people say my partner or refer to somebody as their mm-hmm. partner, I get annoyed because in my head I think that's not a real thing. Partner's not a real thing.
Yeah.
But I understand that it must be because people say it a lot. So what's your take on like the partner thing?
So I'll say it, when I say it, it's because I've only got so many words on TikTok and I'm trying to keep things gender neutral and not exclude somebody who's you know maybe like not married, just and I refer to it like just basic long-term relationship without having to say boyfriend or girlfriend. Yeah. So that's when I use it. Mm-hmm. I think it's something I've started to hear more as I get older because mm-hmm. I think there are people who you know are in long-term relationships that feel like they're too old to say boyfriend or girlfriend.
Yeah.
Because you're someone in your 30s, boyfriend, yeah. girlfriend, and it's kind of like, you know, well, this is what you called somebody in high school.
Yeah.
It's not like boy, girl, and I think there's been some jokes that I've seen where it's like, mm-hmm. if you're a guy calling your girlfriend a partner, like, why aren't you married to her kind of thing? Like, if you think you're too old for boyfriend-girlfriend labels, like, maybe there's another solution. So I think that's like something I've kind of thought about. I do think it is a good neutral term for people that maybe have, mm-hmm. you know, like if you're like same-sex couples or like
and that,
certain situations where it makes more sense.
In the same-sex dynamic, I understand it more. It is more the like...
Yeah, like mm-hmm. I think
like, it's... Yeah. Just get married. Be exactly. married. It's like when people say we're basically married and I will say tell people who say that, no, you're not. Like, you are not married. Mm-hmm. That exactly. It's a different thing to... Me. Anyway.
I've also heard people who are married refer to each other as partners.
See, I think that's just a weird woke thing.
Is it?
Yeah, that feels like,
okay, fair.
Weird. Yeah.
That's like...
My stance is that's like if somebody leaves somebody thing. And they get half, you're partners. Just like in a business.
I could see that.
Whereas if you leave somebody and you go to court to find out who gets the most...
Still partners.
You were married.
I've seen it too, and maybe this is just more when you hear like public personalities talking, they're mm-hmm. trying to keep their life private, right. where they're not trying what specifically their situation mm-hmm. is. So I'll hear that sometimes, but I think as a whole, like the way people use it where it's like trying to avoid saying boyfriend, girlfriend,
sure.
that's, I don't know. Like I'm a big believer in marriage. Like I think when people say, oh, like... I don't believe in getting married or like it's just a piece of paper or like it doesn't mm-hmm. matter. It's like
it matters so much.
Like if something happens, like that paper really, like all those situations, like where you know life or death, that piece of paper really matters.
Literally opens doors.
Yes.
Literally.
And closes them.
And closes them if you don't have
it. And hey, here's the thing: even if you get married, there's more paperwork involved than the one paper to really make sure that if you die,
it's a lot.
The stuff stays.
Yeah,
where it's supposed to be. I was at a work party one time and a coworker said, you know, where's your partner? And I literally just went, you can call her my wife.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Just say, where's your wife?
So to clarify, it's not actually the word that bothers you. It's the way it's used and who is using it.
I totally understand when a member of the same-sex community says my partner because that's
like the most accepted.
Yeah, but even still, I'm like, we'll get married and be husband or be wife because marriage is awesome, honestly. But the specific one is when same-sex couples who are maybe been together for a while or are just a little bit older say partner, and I'm just like, just get married, you coward. Like,
sure.
To me, it's just a sign of cowardice me, and I can't wait for the hate mail. Speaking of hate mail.
I mean, hey, man, I technically agree. Like, I think if you wait.
And again, it's an opinion. That's
and this
opinion.
Is coming from somebody who was definitely in a position of cowardice and didn't get married, and ultimately it was the right choice.
Yeah.
But should have pulled that trigger a lot sooner.
Yeah, for sure. And
so.
On the note of hate mail. I'm sure that doing the kind of content you do, even though it's clearly half
hilarious.
It's hilarious and joking.
Our comment section is pretty rough. I imagine yours is
pretty wild. So what comes your way and how do you deal with it?
A lot around just trying to start a gender war in the comments. Like, I think right before I walked in here, there was something where it was a stitch of just someone's advice. It was a woman giving advice to other women mm-hmm. on, you know, questions you should ask a guy to determine if he's mm-hmm. emotionally available or not. And when I do those, it was like, I keep the same, you know, target audience, like it's like, okay, I'm following the same prompt. Mm-hmm. And someone, why you think women are better than men, why not just do one for men? I said, I generally keep my content gender neutral. He wrote a whole essay back, like, you better prove your point. I'm kind of like, okay, like, might have to do that
here
later.
It is.
But just trying to start a gender war, like if I'm talking about something like a situationship, like I'll use like the they them pronouns so people can put themselves on either side of the story, because I think anyone of any gender can be ghosted, experience heartbreak, there's challenges that everyone faces. And as a whole, I try to keep my content fun. I keep, you know, topics around things like, you know, what's the ick, what's ghosting versus, you know, some of the more intense stuff. But people just being really quick to be like, you know, you're talking about someone having a casual situation, you know, guy comments in like, well, you know, like, look at all these women just have body count increasing. Like, and so it's like out of total left field about just angry people. And sometimes it's like, it's no face profile, like they're not making content themselves.
Yeah, it's like a side of a butt of a cartoon character is their profile picture.
Exactly. Yeah. Anytime I look down at my phone, I see an private. anime character, I'm like, oh god, what am I walking into?
And it's like Zerp Derp 78.
Zerp Derp 78, like that kind of stuff. So those, like, I'll see a lot where it's like, not the freaking the gender wars again. So like, just being so adjacent to those conversations is just, you get those people sometimes. Very troll heavy. Sometimes though, they're, you know, really they don't stop. Like if you respond to them, they keep going. I've gotten lucky. Like I think that's part of why not talking about like my personal life on there has been nice, because it hasn't really opened up my own like decisions. Like I know women who have talked about, like, you know, someone's asked like, what do you look for in a guy, and they say like, oh, like he can pay all his bills. She'll get comments like, you just want a guy who's all made of money, like, or, you know, comments about their looks. Like one nice thing is just kind of keeping my face out of it a lot. So it's like, I get less comments on, you know, appearances and stuff, but a lot of women do like get those. But I get people where it's like, why are you orange? It's like, I have a self-tan addiction. I don't want to be pale.
But can take the girl out of SoCal, guys.
Commenting on my forehead, like saying my forehead's big.
What?
I don't.
You're talking to the owners of some of the bigger foreheads and
true, so small heads,
safe space.
Pointing out they have like lines on my, like, so like those, that was one I hadn't heard. I'm like, oh, I'm supposed to be insecure about the lines on my neck.
Never even thought.
So do you like at the level you're at this point, do you, are you reaching a point where you're going to have to stop reading comments, or is part of what you do like necessitating, well, there's some comments that might be worth replying to,
like doing a stitch on,
They've made good content, I would say. So I do like to read them. I also like to use that as far as like, what videos do I do next? Like following demand. I've been better at like tuning them out though. And something I've done too, when I like, when I hold on to a video a little bit longer, I feel like I'm less emotionally attached to it. So it's like, I can distance myself from it. But I'll get those where it's like people disagree. I also just, I think if I chose more controversial topics, like I would get those.
You'd get more.
Like, how offended could people be by the ick? Like, people still find a way to get offended, but it's kind of like, it's not
back
like you're
to
saying,
personal responsibility.
So those kind of make up the negative ones.
And so your trajectory is relatively quick, because you started it back in 2022, like early May 2022.
I probably had 1,000 followers that I accumulated from fiddling around with stuff.
Absolutely. And now we're at 80k plus, right?
I think something like 85 86. Gosh,
that's
something.
Awesome,
which is incredible. And only up from here. So like, what are you looking at on the horizon? What's coming up? Like, what is exciting you? What's the most exciting thing you've got happening right now, either in your own content or something you're developing that you're allowed to talk about?
I think as a whole, like, it's definitely gotten some really cool eyes on it that I think you know, maybe a traditional like influencer type wouldn't, just because they're like, oh, like, this is, there's some like there's a story going on here. So just kind of the people it's exposed me to in that way, it's kind of like just kind of towing the line of like, what do I do independently versus like seek out, you know, joining someone else's ship or team or something like that. Like, I think it would be really cool if there was, you know, some sort of like content house type thing that was looking for, you know, more creators or like a story kind of there.
And like actual creative creators versus just like ring light people.
So and it's
is that a stab at the creator community?
I don't use a ring light like ever.
Part of what I love about it.
I never, like, it's really just people like, why don't you just like put it on a screen or do like a screen share like Twitch style? I'm like, I don't want to do anything that looks like Twitch. But I personally need to like get on like more platforms and stuff, because I think one thing that's like hurt me is like when you put yourself in it and you do girl stuff, it's like, you know, all of a sudden you'll hear from like a company that makes dresses or makeup, like, oh, hey, like mm-hmm. do something like this. Mm-hmm. So I don't get that, but I've gotten some kind of cool step around like the content side. So like, sure. I would love to do something more like building content full time, but not necessarily like a, you know, influencer style. If that makes sense. Right. Like mm-hmm. if there's something with, you know, like traditional media or like mixed media in that way, like that's something I would be like super attracted to. Mm-hmm. Or if it gives pivots like a opportunity with, you know, I just chat on new dating apps for like a whole time, but like
sure.
there's something where it's like someone's building a dating app in that way, or like trying to come up with new ways to meet people, because that's been a huge like thing for me too, is mm-hmm. just the opportunities that have come up are around someone's building a dating app, or like people have said like, oh, like how would you feel about hosting this type mm-hmm. of event or something. Yeah. It's like, that would be really cool, like bring people mm-hmm. together.
Yeah. Are you saying you're going to be hosting The Bachelor pretty soon?
No, I think it, like there's what was it?
I mean,
I can't talk about that yet. I can't talk about that yet. Cool. I think it was, there's one like party like that she does mm-hmm. in like LA and stuff, and she was like, I'm trying to expand to other cities, but like mm-hmm. doing sure. a local co-host thing. It was like the one girl that she invited all of her like Hinge dates or something to a bar or something, but then it turned into this party that's like really grown, and like mm-hmm. she's got like this infectious like personality, so she's mm-hmm. like talk to me before about mm-hmm. what could we do about bringing something like this to Austin, or would this mm-hmm. do well in Austin. So a lot of like LA, New York personalities that have something established that are like, you know, ooh, like would you want to bring this to Austin? Right. So I think that would be really cool. Just, I love seeing people get together. Like, I'm all about mm-hmm. you know, in person, face to face connection. I would love that kind of opportunity. I'd be excited about.
You can wave a magic wand and you have exactly what you want. What is it?
Oh, that's a great question. Millennial uncertainty. I don't know.
There you go.
I think I'm open. I'm so open to the possibilities. I've always been someone who like chased opportunity in life. And I think that's actually like kind of helped me. I think sometimes people are dream people and they have the dream. They focus on it. They put their head down and they work toward it. Something that I think has helped me, just 2.7 Parks and Rec grades, is just like, oh, there's an open position over there. Like, what's that about? And kind of following like that route and like failing upwards has been kind of how I've lived my
life. Stumble forward.
Exactly.
Fail up.
Well, hey, we appreciate you. We respect the crap out of you.
Thank you.
Please keep making awesome stuff. We got one more question for you.
We ask all our guests this.
It's the one question at all times. Charlotte, what does it mean to you to be a Texan?
Taking accountability and owning your feelings.
Yes!
Cowboy up, baby!
Cowboy up for life.
Cowboy up for life. Cowboy up shirts at texaspy.com. And of course, where can people follow you? What do people need to do to engage with you and get more of your hilarious content?
I'm at TikTok at Welcome to the Peasant Party. Kind of a mouthful of a name. It's the funniest name ever. It kind of happened by accident.
It
just was too late to change it. Welcome to the Peasant Party. There is an Instagram where I try to pull content to you if you're not on the Clock app. Head on over and see that. I am, one weakness of mine is getting things on other platforms. Everyone's saying get on YouTube. I'm like,
I don't think that's a weakness, though. I think focusing on one platform, partially because that's what we do too, is the way to go. Go hit her up. Thank you all so much for listening.
Show her some love, guys.
Don't be afraid to commit. Don't be afraid to have some standards and take some personal responsibility. Cowboy up. Anything else?
I think that's it.
All right. Bye, y'all.